You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Sarah Vaughn.
And I'm Ron Bronson. This is the Daily Local News for Thursday, August 31st, 2017.
Your campaign's got to be about this, your campaign has to be about that. Oh, you know, you have to be for capitalism or against capitalism. People are just coming at me from the left and the right.
In today's community report, WFHB correspondent Michael Glab speaks with Rob Chattos, the independent candidate for Indiana 9th Congressional District.
Also coming up in the next half hour, our weekly public opinion feature, Voices in the Street, asks residents for their opinions about Hurricane Harvey and North Korean aggression. But first, these local headlines.
Monroe County Commissioners have declared today, August 31st, Overdose Awareness Day in Monroe County. In their meeting yesterday morning, Commissioner Amanda Barge said the global event is a time to remember those who have lost their lives to drug overdose.
Overdose deaths shatter families, friends, and communities, and this day recognizes the devastating impact of drug overdose in Monroe County and also provides an opportunity to remember individuals who have died while making a commitment to prevent future deaths. And Monroe County government is dedicated to improving the health and well-being of all citizens. On this day, we focus on the need to raise awareness and educate community members about these preventable deaths.
Celebrated across the country, Overdose Awareness Day is meant to reduce the stigma of drug-related deaths and raise awareness of harm reduction programs. Those are programs focusing on reducing the spread of diseases and educating users in self-care. During their meeting, the county commissioners approved a request by County Attorney Jeff Cockrell to create a fund for the county's special programs. Cockrell specifically mentioned the first annual South Central Opioid Summit in his request, which is set for September 28th.
We have noticed that we have donation funds for a lot of different items, our buildings, our war memorials, and a lot of others, but we didn't have one that would fit for programming. And we have the Opioid Summit coming up, and people are wanting to donate to the county in order to help with that. So this fund is established for that as well as any other similar type uses in the future. We didn't want to make it a kind of a one program idea. And the donations have to be used for whatever the person intended the donations for or something substantially similar.
The Opioid Summit is meant to bring together public officials with those working on the front lines of the opioid epidemic, which last year replaced car accidents as the leading accidental cause of death in the U.S. The first annual Opioid Summit agenda includes panel discussions with those working in harm reduction programs, the criminal justice and child welfare systems, as well as physicians dealing with addiction and overdoses. Information on the summit, along with the full agenda, can be found at the county's website. During their meeting, Commissioner Barge announced the county is accepting applications for vacancies on the Monroe County Environmental Commission, the Cemetery Commission, and the Board of Zoning Appeals. Barge says the Board of Zoning Appeals representative also serves as a non-voting member of the Monroe County Plan Commission.
They can't hold an appointed or elected office in municipal, county, or state government, and they have to live within the planning jurisdictional area.
Applications to serve on the commissions are submitted through the Monroe County website. The next regular meeting of the Monroe County Board of Commissioners is scheduled for September 6th at 10 a.m. All county offices will be closed for Monday's Labor Day holiday.
And Bloomington Police have announced that they have set up sobriety checkpoints and increasing patrols over this Labor Day weekend. Bloomington Police have yet to announce any locations where checkpoints will be set up, but have said that they're setting up one in downtown this Sunday. Bloomington Police are also asking drivers to have their identification and insurance ready in case they're pulled over or have to pass through a sobriety checkpoint. Police are also asking people to plan ahead, and if they will be drinking, to find a safe ride home.
The Indiana Department of Transportation is hosting a series of Interstate 69 public meetings in September. The three meetings will discuss the proposed route of I-69 Section 6 from Martinsville to Indianapolis. The first meeting will take place on Tuesday, September 12th at Martinsville High School at 6:30 p.m. Another meeting on the following day will be held at Perry Meridian High School, and a third meeting will take place on September 14th at Center Grove High School. NDOT officials have stated that public comment and questions over the proposed I-69 Section 6 route will be accepted until the final meeting on September 26th. Questions and comments after the 14th can be sent to NDOT through their website. The public meetings to refine the proposed route of I-69 Section 6 come after the state took over the project from private partners earlier this month.
In the wake of widespread damage caused by Hurricane Harvey in Texas, Indiana Secretary of State Connie Lawson is cautioning Hoosiers to watch out for opportunistic scams. In a press release earlier this week, Lawson was quoted as saying, quote, "Unsolicited investment offers seeking to capitalize on the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey should be approached with extreme caution," end quote. The Secretary of State's office urges potential investors and people wishing to send monetary aid to Texans to watch out for red flags of hurricane-related scams, including unsolicited emails and social media messages, crowdfunding pitches, or other telephone calls promoting investment pools or bonds to help storm victims. Water removal or purification technologies, electricity generating devices, and distress real estate remediation programs as well. The Secretary of State's office is also warning Hoosiers to thoroughly examine charitable organizations before sending donations, stating that those who want to contribute to relief efforts should send contributions only to charities with an established track record of making sure donations get to the victims. The Secretary of State's office also stated that people across the country are attempting to defraud storm victims who may receive large lump sum insurance settlements after the storm. More information on Hurricane Harvey-related scams can be found on the Secretary of State's website. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Ron Bronson.
And I'm Sarah Vaughn. Support for WFHB and the Daily Local News comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service, now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service is available at smithvillesecurity.com.
Rob Chados is a long-haul trucker who has spent countless hours alone in his rig, formulating his opinions and goals concerning Southern Indiana and the world. He's affiliated with neither party and has kicked off his campaign to win Indiana's 9th district seat in the U.S. Congress. He joins Michael Glab on this week's of Big Talk.
Hi, this is Big Talk. Michael Glab here. My guest in studio, Rob Chatlos. Rob is an independent candidate for U.S. Congress, Indiana's 9th district, and by independent, I don't mean he's part of the independent party or anything like that. I mean he's neither Democrat or Republican. He's on his own. Rob, thanks for being on Big Talk.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate you welcoming me down here.
Rob served in the U.S. Air Force. He was a Gulf War vet.
Correct.
How does it help you?
I don't particularly care for when other candidates tout their military experience as being a qualifier to run for public office. What it does do is it helps me have a perspective that maybe the other candidates don't have, but I don't necessarily see it as a prerequisite for anyone. Certainly we've had great leaders that have not been in the military. But I also think it's important, especially now we have some defense issues that my other opponents aren't necessarily addressing right now.
You said at one point, the ultra wealthy, along with international organized crime, rogue states, corrupt politicians, and contemptuous propagandists have enjoyed a lack of meaningful opposition for decades. I guess you're seeing yourself as meaningful opposition.
You bet. It is incredibly frustrating for me to witness and observe problems not being solved in a way that is actually constructive and purposeful and gets results. I'm kind of a 100% in, all-in kind of person, and I think it is extremely important that if you are going to be on the leading edge of problem solving, that you understand the problem. I don't see that with the current candidates, certainly not with the incumbent. One of the things that I had noticed thumbing through Trey Hollingworth's Facebook page was the how perfect it was and how organized, perfectly edited. You can tell that he had tech assistants, administrator. He probably doesn't even read his own Facebook page, but there's this just perfect image of whatever it is that he wants you to see as a potential voter, creating this almost virtual reality now. That is a trend that is most disturbing for me. The internet is starting to become a tool where candidates don't have to be accountable for the things they do or the things that they say. We're getting to a point where we're almost looking at virtual candidates, virtual campaigns. Trey has utilized this, and I think the evidence is pretty clear. He doesn't show up to any events where people can criticize him. All the information that he has is controlled. He knows he doesn't have to participate, or he doesn't have to answer to anybody.
Well, when you think about it, Rob, Congress people, the members of the House, they have to run every 2 years, and the hell of it is, the minute you're elected, you better start running for the next election. And the way to run is to get on that phone and beg for money from big donors.
I have to laugh because I actually talked to the district chair early on, I think back in January, February, and I told him, if I get elected, I won't be doing that. If I have to plead for the constituency, for the voters in this district, to raise money, and they don't see the decent, honest, hardworking individual that they have, if I have to go out and sell them every time that I'm doing my job just in exchange for money, that's ridiculous. I mean, I think it is very disingenuous to believe that your money is going to actually translate into the things that you want, especially if you're a donor at the lower end of the scale. I won't do it. I'm not going to badger or patronize people for money. I just won't. I'm here. You donate, go for it. But I will be busy doing the work of the people in Washington. I am not going to waste my time or your time, as far as I'm concerned, by raising money.
You're a long-haul trucker, so you spend a lot of hours alone in the truck thinking about these things.
Correct. It is a very lonely occupation. That is definitely one of the advantages. It's quiet. I noticed in the beginning when I told people that I was going to run, they talked to me and they said, your campaign's got to be about this. Your campaign has to be about that. Oh, you know, you have to be for capitalism or against capitalism. People were just coming at me from the left and the right. I became very frustrated with what appeared to be the, my ideals kind of getting diluted and what I think was important. And it takes a very strong person to talk to a voter or a constituent and tell them, yes, that's very important, but I think this is more important. I can't run my campaign or even do my job, should I win, by absolutely trying to please everybody.
Some of your issues are, for one thing, you call for 100% renewable energy by 2030.
Yes, and that's not just the United States, that's North America. I think it's very important to include our neighbors to the north and south on this issue. Canada, I think even Mexico, is probably light years ahead of us.
Now, another thing that you are for, universal single-payer healthcare.
Absolutely. That is something that the Democratic establishment has reluctantly, they've climbed aboard. This is something that should have been done before I was born. Absolutely ridiculous. And I think the debate, the debate alone offends me.
Here's a couple of issues, maybe three issues, having to do with the economic system itself.
Yep.
And they are, you want the minimum wage to be increased to reflect cost of living increases.
Yes.
And another is, you want some tax increases. You're not afraid to say that.
Yep.
But for the wealthy, capital gains taxes and so forth. And then a third thing that you're very interested in are some consumer banking protections.
You bet.
All of these things say you want to regulate the economic system.
You bet I do, because it is being regulated, but not by the people it should be. The wealthy are the people that have the power in this country and the world, and don't you doubt for a second that that is the way it is.
Thanks for joining us on Big Talk.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. I hope that my message is well received by the listeners out there, and come check me out.
That was 9th District Congressional Candidate Rob Chatto speaking with WFHB correspondent Michael Glab on this week's edition of Big Talk. You can hear this edition of Big Talk and all other editions of Big Talk via our website at wfhb.org.
Support for WFHB comes from Monster Digital Marketing, offering digital marketing solutions for small businesses. Monster Digital Marketing websites are built for search engine optimization, with both the desktop and mobile device user in mind. Located at monsterdigitalmarketing.com or on the phone at 317-567-1197.
Support also comes from MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Up next is our weekly public opinion segment, Voices in the Street.
Welcome to Voices in the Street, WFHB's weekly public opinion feature. Voices in the Street provides an opportunity for people in our community to share their opinions and perspectives on the issues and events that matter most to Bloomington residents.
This week on Voices in the Street, what do you think about North Korea's missile launch? And, closer to home, how would you help flooding victims in Texas? On August 29, Kim Jong-un launched an intermediate-range missile that flew over Japan before splashing into the sea. Voices in the Street has asked how you feel about this latest demonstration of North Korean power.
We tried to go to the peace table with them and kind of talk more about it, because Korea is angrified at us. And the idea is they've already got their military ready to go. It would take one day for them to come through here, the opening from between Canada into the United States. But we need to work with our peace on them, you know.
I don't think this is like a good thing, because what North Korea has done has literally posed a threat globally. And even though the U.S. has warned more than once that the North Korea should stop trying to launch any kind of missile, it doesn't seem to be enough of a warning for them to stop. Firstly, let's just not go to war with North Korea, because that would just cost money and like would make people feel even worse. And if I were the president, I would probably pose economic sanctions on North Korea, and I would warn against China and like force China to warn North Korea to stop implementing this kind of things.
The missile launch from North Korea, we all love each other. It's brotherhood, sisterhood. We gotta pick each other up off the ground. It's not up to us. It's up to God.
We can't decide if it's a publicity stunt or if it's really gonna happen. You never know with North Korea. Anything could happen. They're very spontaneous, and that's a problem. I would definitely pay attention to this and react in a neutral way, almost. I know Japan is one of our neutrality countries, and of course, we want to stand up for them.
Closer to home, Hurricane Harvey has hit Texas hard. We have asked what should be done to help the flood victims.
If it comes down to it, they need my help, I'm going out there. So we'll see what happens on that one. That's what I can say about that, but that hurricane just keeps going out the shore, coming back in, so I don't know what's happening with it.
We really need to help them. Like, this isn't something, even here in Indiana, landlocked Indiana, we need to go up help them. So as much relief as possible and as much manpower as possible to help these people and animals.
Things happen, but I think we need to be there for them. Part of the United States, isn't it? Right. So I think we need to help them, just like we did Louisiana and everybody else.
I think you look back at President Bush, W. Bush, and how he handled Hurricane Katrina. I think he handled that the best way any president could at the time. It's a natural disaster. It's one of those things that you can predict, but you can't predict exactly what's going to happen. And I think that's the problem. Like, you don't know what's going to happen until you're there. And as a president, I probably would have gone there and checked it out and then sent as much relief as possible. I know we have to keep it some for other reasons, of course, but doing as much as I can for Houston and Texas in general.
This has been Voices in the Street, WFHB's weekly public opinion segment, featuring candid commentary from your friends and neighbors on the issues and events that matter most to Bloomington residents. Voices in the Street is a volunteer-powered production of our News and Public Affairs Department here on WFHB 91.3 and 98.1 FM, community radio for South Central Indiana.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Alex Davis and Wes Martin, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, a partnership with Community Access Television Services. Our feature today was produced by Michael Glab.
Voices in the Street was produced by Barbara von Prowalski. Our engineer today is Chris Martin. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, I'm Sarah Vaughn.
And I'm Ron Bronson. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, independent daily news program.
If you use iTunes, you can have this show delivered directly to you. Just go to the iTunes store, search for WFHB Daily Local News, and subscribe to our podcast.
Stay tuned for Blooming Out, Indiana's only LGBTQI public affairs show, coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.